I've been suggesting to us last week and this week and next week that we might be in a time of looking at the basics, looking at the essence, looking at the foundations, the pillars, however you want to describe. What is this about? With all this complexity, everything that goes on in not only in the life of the church, but in our lives. Sometimes the busyness makes it hard to see what's really happening. So I've turned us to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Right after the Pentecost story, we get this description of how the church behaved. And it's stated as four devotions. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, and to prayer. So we're going to look at each of those in series as a way to understand how we started and how we can continue to discern what is the real stuff, what is the foundation, what are we building on. And this morning we are looking at the part of that verse that talks about they were devoted, they focused on the apostles' teaching. And for that, I'm going to use a psalm, Psalm 1. The Psalms as an organization of 150 writings are a bit of a mystery to me. We can discern some of the organization, but one thing seems clear to me, that as they're organizing the Psalms, it's not like bingo. You know, in bingo, you have a whole bunch of spinning balls, and somebody picks one out, and that happens to be the first one. The Psalms were not all in a bag, and somebody grabs in one, and this is number one. This Psalm is somehow the launch of the Psalms. And it goes like this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord. I grew up in a rural culture out east, and as you may know, not many people are flocking to the east. Actually, the travel goes the other way. Easterners come here. They look for work. With the result that there's a pretty stable community where I grew up. And one of the beauties of stable, established communities is they start to learn colorful ways of talking. Not that kind of colorful. Well, that too. But one of the ways to start a conversation was to ask, what do you know? And that may seem like an odd thing to say, but there was a given response to that. Not too much. What do you know? Not too much. Because there's a certain wisdom in life in realizing that there is so much we don't know. So much. So that is a very common theme in not only in life, but in our cultural moment. For the past decade or so, we've been talking about deconstructing faith. So Any of you who were raised in a Christian community, by the time you are able to make up your own mind, you've got boxes and boxes of stuff. You've got all kinds of practices. You've got all kinds of ideas. You've got all kinds of norms and values. And then you start to take the stuff out of the boxes and you say, what do I want to keep? That's deconstruction, taking it all apart, ripping it down to the floorboards. And in deconstruction, we realize we don't know very much. We're handed all of this dogma, all of this truth, all of this book, and we find ourselves asking, how much of that are we willing to bet our lives on? How much of that are we willing to say, this is sure, this is where I can stand? And some of us get quite comfortable with saying, I don't know anything. The word agnostic is a translation of Greek, which means simply not knowing. Agnostics are people who don't know. And there's a certain comfort in being an agnostic. But at the end of the day, it's unsatisfying because the world feels unstable. We need a place to put our feet. We need a place to stand. While recognizing that not everything that people say is trustworthy is a place where you can stand. So, we learn to say we don't know everything, but we don't know nothing. Okay? That's not a double negative. That is saying we are not wholehearted agnostics. We do know some things. This morning, as we were seeing the service unfold, realizing it's a complex service, and your preparation as a choir is complicated. And we were reminded in the community room over there that this phrase, keep it simple, Shirley, is also wisdom. As you say, what do you need to know to make it through life? How much certainty do you have to have? Do you have to have a square mile of certainty? Or can you be, a square kilometer of certainty? Or can you be comfortable with a square meter? How much space do you have to stand on? The time in which Jesus spoke was a Baroque period of religious life in Israel. And by Baroque, I mean highly complicated and ornate. Oftentimes, you see culture going through these movements where everything gets more and more detailed. And after a while, people say, enough of the frill. Give us Mozart. Give us classic. Give us clean lines. Enough of the 27 tracks of strings and voices. Give us punk. Give us a voice and a guitar. Jesus, I believe, was a punk rocker. Jesus simplified things. In a time when the Pharisees had said, well, in order to be a really good follower of God, there are 613 laws that you have to adhere to. And Jesus says, well, when it comes right down to it, there's two. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything rests on those two. Stand on them. Base your life on them. And so when we hear the psalmist say, the way to the blessed life, the way to the healthy life, the good life, is to meditate on the law of God, take delight in the law of God. It's important that we hear this through the lens, through the ears of Jesus, that we don't say, yeah, we've really got to pay attention to all the commandments. No, Jesus came to simplify. In the simplicity, there is also terror, because it comes down to such a clear point. Loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And we have fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus says, don't for that reason not simplify. Simplify, 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 as Thoreau said. Keep it simple. So when we hear the psalmist says, take delight in the law of God, we resist the temptation to say, yeah, we've really got to go back to the Old Testament and slice and find out all the ways that we haven't been adhering to God's law. We look at Jesus as the fulfillment of the law. We look at Jesus as Torah, that is Hebrew for the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the Torah. I am God's law for you. Watch me. And the author of the letter to the Hebrews says, therefore, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He is the beginning, the author, and the end, the completion of your faith, the completer of your faith. Always focus on Jesus. Whenever you are tempted to get distracted by all these things that you think you should be doing, and that others are saying you should be doing in order to be a really good person, a really good follower of God, look at Jesus and ask yourself, what would Jesus do? But because Jesus is risen, we don't speak of him in the conditional. What is Jesus doing? And follow him. Look at him. Follow him. What you need to know is the apostles' teaching. All of us, again, need to say we are devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, what did they teach? They didn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees. They taught like Jesus. That is, they focused on simple things. And they told the story of Jesus. After Pentecost, they brought to mind all of the things that Jesus said that they just didn't really grasp. Primarily, why Jesus had to die. They began to understand what he meant, even though during his life they denied it at every turn. They contradicted him every time he said that. So to be part of a church, to be walking the life of faith with Christ, is to say, I'm devoted to the apostles' teaching. I keep my eyes focused on Jesus. Now, I have told you in the past, I've confessed that I think I have Winnie the Pooh qualities. Not only because of my enjoyment of honey, but because I'm a very simple bear. So I say what is coming out of an acknowledgement that I do not do well with complexity. I'm so glad we have a staff here that seems to handle complexity enormously well. And they just say, now do this. That being said, I wonder whether the church is in a time of simplicity, a call to ask itself, what is most important? What matters most? At the end of the day, where are we going to stand? many years ago, there were debates about the historicity of Genesis. And people were willing to say that if God did not create the world in 6 days, then we throw the whole Bible out. Thankfully, most of us said, no, I don't think our faith stands or falls on whether Genesis 1 and 2 are historically scientific accounts of how the world came to be. And it seems to me that we are being asked again and again, can you simplify your faith for your own sake, so that when you encounter a dinosaur bone and you say, I was taught that dinosaurs didn't exist. When you encounter this stuff, your faith is not shaken. You say, no, I stand on my square meter, which is the truth of Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, sent by the Father to redeem the world, including me. I stand here. And whatever else happens, whatever other things are proven untrue or untrustworthy or questioned, whatever people throw at me in question, I know because the Holy Spirit has convinced me that this thing is true. I can stand on the love of Jesus. I can stand on the apostles' teaching about Jesus. I can stand here knowing that Jesus is who he says he is, and therefore I am who God says I am. You don't have to agree with me about where we are in this cultural moment. But maybe this registers with you too, either at this time or at another time in your life, when you found yourself saying, things feel unstable. Where can I stand? The church has taught us, scriptures teach us, stand on Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for those who have gone before us and are at rest. Again, we say, not unto them, but unto you be glory. Thank you for your Spirit, which focused the heart of the church. We pray that you will also focus us. We ask this for the sake of and in the name of Jesus. Amen.